Welcome to all listening. The Bible is composed of 66 inspired books, but the Catholic version and some Protestant Bibles have 7 additional books called the Apocrypha. Did God inspire these added books? Who constitutes the final authority for determining which books are in the inspired Word of God and for preserving these books? In today's message, entitled Apocrypha, we'll look at this in 5 points. 1. The Catholic claim. 2. Why called Apocrypha? 3. To the Jew. 4. Which books preserved? And 5. Apocrypha never quoted in Scripture. Material is predominantly from a 1952 Ambassador College reprint article entitled, Do We Have the Complete Bible? By Dr. Hay. Point 1, the Catholic claim. Roman Catholics claim in their literature that the Bible is a Catholic book. They insist that they alone have authority to determine which books belong in both the Old and New Testaments, that they alone have been used in preserving it. They openly acknowledge that it is solely by their authority that the Apocrypha, 7 additional books, and portions of 2 others have been added to the Old Testament in the Catholic Bibles and have appeared in some Protestant Bibles, like this one here, the New English Bible with the Apocrypha. In Catholic Bibles and some others, you will find these 7 books entitled 1. Tobit, 2. Judith, 3. Wisdom of Solomon, 4. Ecclesiasticus, 5. Baruch, 6 and 7, 1st and 2nd Maccabees. Besides these 7 books, 107 additional verses are placed at the end of the book of Esther, inserted in the middle of the 3rd book of Daniel is a song of the 3 holy children, and at the end of the book of Daniel is a 13th chapter called Susanna and the Elders, and the 14th chapter called Bel and the Dragon. Point 2. Why called Apocrypha? Why are these additional books called apocryphal? What does the word Apocrypha mean? Apocrypha comes from the Greek word meaning hidden, secret in origin. These books, in other words, had a hidden beginning, a secret origin, not openly given to the community at first. They were mystery books. But the 7 additional books and chapters are actually only a few out of many hundreds of fabulous books which we commonly call apocryphal writings. There were dozens of ancient, spurious, apocryphal or spurious gospels, acts, epistles, apocalypses. They include such titles as Gospel According to the Egyptians, Gospel of the Birth of Mary, the Acts of Peter, the Apocalypse of the Virgin. Between 200 BC and 100 AD, numerous apocryphal works appeared also among the Essene Jews, such as the Assumption of Moses, the Ascension of Isaiah, 3rd and 4th Ezra, the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs, and the Testament of Abraham, etc. Many of these works are so fantastic, so plainly a fraud, that they have never been accepted by either Jews, Catholics, or Protestants. Most are spurious, purposefully written in the names of famous men in order to foist some mysterious secret doctrine on the church. Point 3. To the Jew. We notice Paul's inspired word. Let's turn to Romans 3, verses 1 and 2. Romans 3, verses 1 and 2. What advantage, then, has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. To whom had the oracles, God's inspired word, the Bible, been committed in the Old Testament times? Was it to the Catholic Church? Or was it left up to individuals? No, it was committed to the Jews. It was entrusted to their care. Let's turn to Acts 7, verses 37 and 38. Acts 7, verses 37 and 38. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him shall you hear." This is he, Moses, who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel or messenger, Jesus Christ, who spoke to him, Moses, on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us. The Old Testament oracles were given to the church in the wilderness, the Old Testament church. It was not left up to the individual. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 2, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." And what was the duty of the scribes? To preserve the word of God, to transcribe it, and reproduce it from generation to generation. The Pharisees were responsible for the constant oral reading of the scriptures in the synagogues. They were used of God, despite themselves, to preserve his word, which condemned them. God governed the preservation of his word, the Old Testament, through them. Jesus, even before he came to earth, had chosen the scribes and Pharisees to act as the preservers of his word. Point 4. Which books preserved? We notice which scriptures Jesus Christ recognized as having the official approval of his church. Let's turn to Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. Then he, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the one, law of Moses, and two, the prophets, and three, the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. The Scriptures, according to this testimony of Jesus, were properly divided by the Jews into 1. The Law, 2. The Prophets, and 3. The Psalms. This threefold division the Jews have preserved unaltered to this very day. The Law is composed of the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis to Deuteronomy. The Prophets are composed of Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, the former prophets, and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 minor prophets, the latter prophets. The third major division of the Hebrew Old Testament is called the Psalms, because the book of Psalms composes the first part of this division. It has the Psalms, Proverbs, Job, then the 5 small books, Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther, followed by Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and as a final summary to all the Old Testament, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Notice that these books preserved by the Jews are exactly the same as you can find in the King James Version, the New King James Version, and other versions today. The change in the listed order of the books of the Old Testament has been as a result of recent influence of the Latin Vulgate on English translators. The Apocrypha were never a part of the inspired books of the Bible which compose our Old Testament. Jesus recognized the authority of exactly the same number of books we have in our Old Testament today. There are only 39 inspired books which compose the Old Testament. We have the Old Testament complete today. The 7 additional books of the Apocrypha are spurious. They never were a part of the Old Testament which the true church of that day preserved. The apocryphal writings, most of which are frauds, are absolutely uninspired. Some, such as 1 and 2 Maccabees, are relatively accurate history, though even they contradict each other in points. In Jesus' day, these 39 separate books of the Old Testament were often gathered together on 22 different scrolls, as we read from Josephus. Quote, "For we, the Jews, have not an innumerable multitude of books among us, disagreeing and contradicting one another, but only 22 books, which contain the records of all the past times, which are justly believed to be divine." Last point 5. The Apocrypha were never quoted in Scripture. The Apocrypha were written between the time of Ezra and the inspired prophets and the time of Christ, a time during which God had ceased to send his prophets. Universal testimony admitted by all is that the last of the Old Testament prophets was Malachi, who lived in Nehemiah's day. The Apocrypha originated secretly among the Essene Jews who had adopted many of the customs of the pagans around them. In conclusion, the Bible is complete. Not one book of the Bible has been lost. Not one is missing. The books of the Bible, as you find them in our King James and New King James, constitute the complete Bible.